and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we'll keep you in stitches with a radio comedian who got his start in vaudeville. Eddie Cantor's topical humor and variety show was popular for decades. First, we have two shows from 1943, full of jokes about the effort to win World War II. You can really tell the way the whole country pulled together in that difficult time and kept their spirits up with Eddie Cantor. Dinah Shore is the singer Eddie Cantor discovered, and in this first show, you get to hear announcer and straight man Harry Von Zell sing too. The show was sponsored by Bristol Myers and called Time to Smile. Enjoy the comedian who loves to spend each Wednesday with you, Eddie Cantor, Time to Smile, first broadcast February 3rd, 1943 on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile, starring the man who has just returned from entertaining the workers in the Kaiser shipyards, Eddie Cantor.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Von Zell.
Yeah?
I spent all day Saturday with the most amazing, energetic individual I've ever met in my whole life, the most popular citizen in the United States, Henry Kaiser.
Oh,
oh boy. And Harry, you should see the way he eats.
Eat?
I ate with him. He had two glasses of orange juice, two bowls of oatmeal, a double order of eggs, and two cups of coffee. I said, what's the idea of doubling up on everything? And he said, I'm also eating tomorrow's breakfast. I have a very busy day. What are you going to
do? Oh, Eddie, what a shipbuilding business he's built up.
And let me tell you something, Harry. He doesn't make 1 cent from building the ships.
Yeah. Well, how does he make a living?
Champagne. He gets 50 cents on each bottle.
Oh. No, wait a minute. I understand that certain shipbuilding centers are now christening ships with beer instead of champagne.
It's true, Harry. Why, up north, they've been christening so many ships with beer. Last night, San Francisco Bay had a head on it.
Oh. No, now you're exaggerating, though.
I'm not. They're calling it the Pacific Ocean.
Say, I heard that you spoke to thousands of the workers at the Richmond shipyard.
That's right, Harry. And I met one of the most patriotic women in this country. She has a husband in the Navy, 3 sons in the Army, and she herself works as a riveter, even though she has a 6-month-old baby.
She has a 6-month-old baby?
Of course. Who do you think throws her the ribbons?
Now, that I don't believe.
All right, ask Henry Kaiser. He allows the women workers to bring their little babies to the shipyards, and it saves them some money.
Well, how?
Instead of a whistle at 4 o'clock, all the kids go, everybody knocks off. I mean, for the day. Why, those defense workers think of nothing but their jobs, even when it comes to romance.
Oh, romance? What do you mean by that, Eddie?
A welder I know is engaged to a girl. He made a ring out of a rivet, slipped it on a thing, and said, darling, will you be my lawful welded wife?
You know something?
Yeah.
I must send that to Reader's Digest. Yeah.
You know, and everyone at Richmond isn't as romantic as that. One woman was always complaining about the grind. She was always kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Building and launching. She said, building and launching, building and launching. Friday, this woman got up, hit her husband with a bottle of champagne, and pushed his bed into the bathtub. Then she laid the keel for a new husband.
Well, here, Eddie, did you find the women as efficient as the men at the shipyards?
Unquestionably.
They were?
Mm-hmm. One ship up there was being built exclusively by women.
Really?
But they had a terrible accident last week, Harry.
Oh, no. What happened?
This destroyer, that was only half completed, slipped into the Pacific.
Oh, what happened there?
It sank 2 Japanese battleships before they could pull it back.
That must have been interesting, Eddie. Are you going to make any more tours of the defense plants?
Yes, all over this country. And something else, Harry. Pretty soon you might hear that one of the Cantors is overseas.
Ida has been drafted?
No! Ida's forerath. What's the matter with you? Don't be so smart. You know, Harry, I'm going as an ambassador of goodwill. Already the government has put me through rigid tests.
Oh?
Oh, such a routine I went through yesterday.
Really? Well, what did they do to you?
Well, since I'm going to be in the war zone, they tested my calmness under fire.
Oh.
The first question was, what would you do if you were flying in a bomber that was attacked by 40 Zeros firing machine gun and cannon dropping bombs straight at you?
Well, what was your answer?
Nothing. From the question alone, I fainted.
Oh, boy. What sort of a physical examination did you get?
Oh, Harry, you should have been there yesterday. One guy tore off my shirt, tested my heart, my blood, my pulse. Finally, after a half an hour, he came to me.
Well, Cantor, you just managed to pass my test by the skin of your teeth.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
What do you mean, doctor? I'm the coroner.
Coroner?
Hello, Mr. Cantor. I'm the nurse. The doctor wants me to take your temperature.
Take my temperature?
Yes, I must take it.
My temperature?
Yes, honey.
You may as well. You gave it to me.
I'm sorry we haven't any magazines to read while you're waiting. You really should have something to look at.
It's okay. You'll do. Nurse, I'm nervous about examination. Is your boss here a good doctor?
Oh, he's wonderful. Look, right now he's releasing a patient he cured completely.
Well, you're in perfect shape. Get going. You heard me. Giddy up.
A horse doctor? Nurse, I refuse to be examined by a veterinarian. What am I, a dog? A mutt?
Oh, now don't get excited.
A mongrel?
Put your head on my shoulder.
Woof, woof. Woof, woof. Woof, woof.
Aha, distemper. This looks like a difficult case, nurse. Call up the kennel club and cancel my appointments for the day.
Yes, sir.
What appointment, doctor, have you got at the kennel club?
Cocker spaniel named Gwendolyn. Maternity case.
War puppies? Well, gosh, doing that work on the side, you must be kept pretty busy, doctor.
Not around here. We split up the work. I take care of all the adults, and the nurse handles the children under 14. By the way, how old are you?
A goo-goo. A goo-goo.
What seems to be your trouble?
No trouble, doctor. You see, I may have to go to Europe for Uncle Sam, so I want to get the necessary injections.
Okay. First, I'll give you a rabies injection in case you're bitten by a mad dog.
Oh, don't bother. I'm sure I won't be going to Berlin.
Very well. I'll give you the malaria injection. Roll up your sleeve.
But careful, doctor. Will you be careful?
Now, don't worry. I use the needle very gently. Here goes.
Stop it!
Oh, I'm sorry. I used to be a riveter at Lockheed.
Well, look, doctor.
Hello?
Doctor, what is that?
My maternity case at the kennel club. What's the trouble, Gwendolyn? Oh, well, stop worrying. I'm sure they won't arrive till tomorrow. No, I can't come over. I'll keep in touch with you. I tell you, nothing will happen until tomorrow, Gwendolyn.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Goodbye. Imagine that, trying to tell me.
Yeah.
I guess I ought to know. I'm the doctor. Now, where were we?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yes. Let me hear you say, ah. No, not eh. Ah. Ah. Say it with a drawl. Droop. Draw. Ah.
Oh, doctor.
Oh. See, doctor? I'm drawling.
You're also drooling. What do you want, nurse?
There's an emergency request from the YWCA across the street.
The YWCA?
Yes. They want you to pull down the shades quick or get a new patient.
Hello. Oh, it's you, Gwendolyn. I told you nothing will happen until tomorrow. What? Listen to what? Congratulations.
So that is what happened at the doctor's. Well, you finally got your inoculation.
Yes,
huh?
Harry. Everything is all set. The only thing I need now is a little coaching in foreign languages.
Yes.
And you know just the guy who can help me? Adolf Manjou.
Who?
Adolf Manjou. He was in that picture with Fred Astaire and Rita Hayworth.
What?
You were never lovelier.
Oh, well, I think you're cute, too.
Take over while I call
Manjou. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, lovely Dinah Shore singing, I'm Getting Tired So I Can Go to Sleep.
I'm getting tired so I can sleep. I want to sleep so I can dream. I want to dream so I can be with you. I've got your picture by my bed. 'Twill soon be placed beneath my head to keep me company the whole night through. For a little while, whatever befalls, smile till reveille calls. I hope you're tired enough to sleep, and please sleep long enough to dream, and look for me, for I'll be dreaming through. For a little while, whatever before, for I'll be dreaming to la 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 la. For I'll be dreaming to.
Dinah, that was beautiful. Wasn't it, Harry? Look at that. He's asleep.
Oh, was my song that bad?
Well, don't be silly. It was wonderful. But when you sing I'm Getting Tired So I Can Sleep, what do you expect? Harry, wake up. Will you wake up? What'll I do?
I'll get him up, Master.
How, Cookie?
Like this.
George! You're nothing at him, boy! George!
I'm sorry. Dinah's song was so soothing and restful, I
Well,
just...
Harry, if you're going to sleep on this program, who is going to tell our listeners about Sal Hepatica? Do you want me to do it?
Well, Eddie, it doesn't really matter who calls our listeners' attention to Sal Hepatica, so long as we point out that it does help a person feel better faster. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and under the weather due to the need of a laxative, if you take Sal Hepatica right away, it brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that's important, for it means you no longer have to wait till night to take the laxative you need in the morning. You no longer have to risk feeling miserable the rest of the day. Sparkling Sal Hepatica has this additional advantage, too.
This famous mineral salt laxative helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So ask your druggist tonight or tomorrow for a bottle of Sal Hepatica. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Oh, Harry.
What is it, Eddie?
It's all set.
What?
Manjou has agreed to come over. Now I want to impress him with my new government job. I want him to think I'm popular in diplomatic circles.
Yeah, well, where do I come in?
You've got to pretend to be a French ambassador. Well, what are you laughing at?
Well, out of the things I got to do for $12 a week.
All right. Oh, that must be Manjou now. Harry, go out and come back later. Yeah. Now, are you sure you can speak French?
Oh, si, si, senor.
Oh, what for you? Come in. Why, it's Adolphe Manjou. Congratulate me, Adolphe. I'm going abroad. The government is sending me out of the country. Do you know why?
They heard your program?
No, Adolphe. They want me to be an ambassador of goodwill. And the reason I asked you over tonight was to teach me the customs of the foreign countries.
Well, Eddie, your different nationalities greet each other in various ways. For example, when a Frenchman greets a Russian, he kisses him on both cheeks.
Yeah.
When an American meets a Russian, he shakes hands. And when a German meets a Russian...
Yes?
He just shakes. And, believe me, when our boys get through with Berlin, Hitler will have to go back to his old job of house painting.
Listen, when our boys get through with Berlin, there won't be any houses left to paint. I'll tell you. But Adolf, the first place I'm going to visit on my tour will most likely be Morocco. Now, supposing I arrive around dinner time, what is the first thing I do?
Well, you simply walk up to one of the natives and say, Ana Masrur Salam Salam Sahib Salam Ali.
I say that?
Yes.
What does that mean?
That means, where is the nearest drive-in?
A drive-in on the desert?
Yes, and they serve strange exotic dishes like kebab and couscous.
Kebab and couscous? The genuine kebab and couscous?
Couscous, yes.
Well, what is that?
Camel burgers.
Camel burgers. Morocco must be a very quaint place.
Oh, yes, and they have other strange customs there, too. For instance, in Morocco, there are men who have several wives. They're called royal sultans.
Over here, we call them Tommy Manville. Say, I understand. I understand that Tommy is only getting married 6 times a week. He's observing Mateless Tuesday. Made it up out of my own head, honestly.
And Eddie, in your travels abroad, when you visit India, you must remember that the cow is sacred. You cannot touch it.
Over here, the cow is getting sacred, too. You can't only touch it, you can't even see one. And butchers you can only visit by appointment now.
Oh, Eddie, the meat shortage isn't that bad.
It isn't. Adolf, yesterday morning on Hollywood Boulevard, they put up a Bull Durham sign. In the afternoon, there was nothing left of the bull but his horns. Imagine somebody being so anxious for meat that he eats a picture off a billboard. Ooh, I can still taste the paste. But Adolf, getting back to my trip, there's something that worries me. You see, I never told this to anybody, but you're a friend. I'm afraid of planes. And, well, I understand that they fly ambassadors across the ocean in 4 motored heavy bombers.
You should be frightened, Eddie.
Why?
I saw the plane they're preparing for you.
You did? What did it look like?
Well, it didn't shock me when I realized it wasn't a heavy bomber.
No.
Or when I saw that it didn't have 4 motors, or 3, or 2, or 1. But when I saw the Wright brothers sitting at the control with Christopher Columbus's map of the Atlantic, a lifeboat, and 3 fishing poles, Eddie, that's not good.
That's not what? Well, I'll tell you something. That's really bad.
Yes. Isn't it? Eddie, why did they ever choose you as an ambassador?
Why, yes, why, there's a little of us. I'm popular in diplomatic circles, that is why. As a matter of fact, Adolf, I'm expecting a very distinguished guest to drop in tonight. The French envoy.
The French envoy? That's wonderful, Eddie. I'd enjoy meeting him again.
Again, you mean you've met him?
Well, of course. I had lunch with him this afternoon.
Oh, I better warn Harry.
Bonjour, mes amis. Bonjour, toujours l'amour.
Harry, he knows the French envoy.
Say, what's going on here?
Well, there's been a little mistake, Adolf. He's a different envoy. He's from, do you know German or Japanese?
I speak them both fluently.
He's the ambassador from Turkey. That's what he is. From Turkey.
Huh?
Harry, give him a little turkey.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Harry, go out, please.
Say, Eddie.
Yes, Adolf.
Eddie, I'm convinced that I could help you a lot more in those foreign countries if you'd let me make the trip with you.
I think you're right. And besides, I understand that the head of the Immigration Bureau is a Frenchman. You'll be able to get us through quicker, huh?
Well, surely. I'll just say, cher monsieur, permettez-moi de vous présenter, monsieur Eddie Cantor. Merci beaucoup.
And what will he answer?
How do you do?
Great Gordon, the mad Russian.
That's a good kid. That's a me.
Russian.
Yes, yes.
How did you ever get such an important job?
I'm very friendly with FDR. I'm always in and out of the White House.
Really?
Yes. I walk right in, and they throw me right out.
Russian, as head of the Immigration Bureau, you can help us. I'm going abroad with my friend here.
Ooh.
Bonjour. My name is Adolf, and I'm going to Europe. What is the first thing I have to do?
Adolf, change your name and shave off your mustache.
But he can't do that, Russian. Oh. You see, he happens to be Adolf Manjou, the movie star. He needs it.
That's right. It's my bread and butter.
That mustache is your bread and butter?
Yes.
Did you ever try it with marmalade? She's very pretty.
Will you quit stalling and give us the passports?
Well, first you'll have to answer a few questions. Yes. Are you married?
Of course, we're both married.
You make such a lovely couple.
Oh, no! I don't believe you're the head of the Immigration Bureau. Why, you're not even a citizen.
Don't say that. That, don't say. Why, just yesterday I received my third papers.
Why, you can only get your first and second papers. The government isn't supposed to send you a third paper.
That's what I keep calling my draft board.
Russian,
yes.
If you'll okay our passports, we'll even take you with us.
Oh.
But remember, you'll have to travel light.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'll only take 110 pounds.
110 pounds of what?
Her name, I don't know.
Wait a minute. Russian, look.
Yes.
This is important. We want to fly to Europe.
Oh.
Forget about those homely women you know.
Homely women? Indeed. 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 My last customer was Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr?
Yes. For passport identification, I took her lip prints.
But you're supposed to take her fingerprints.
You take what you like, I'll take what I like.
Russian, I think we ought to make this trip without you.
All right.
But you'll be lonely.
Don't worry. Now, our first stop will be Russia. And, of course,
yes,
we'll need some maps.
Oh, for Russia, you don't need maps.
No.
Just paint a swastika on the left wing, a swastika on the right wing, and when you get over Stalingrad...
Yes?
Don't worry, you'll come down.
Get out, Russian. Adolf, there's just one thing that you haven't told me.
Yes?
What if in my travels I meet a beautiful girl? Say a girl as beautiful as Maureen O'Hara.
Oh, I'd say you'd be lucky. She's lovely.
Mm.
I just saw a preview of her new RKO picture with Charles Laughton, This Land Is Mine.
Yeah, and incidentally, Maureen's going to be on our show next week. Ooh. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But what I started to say was this. Suppose I met a beautiful girl who doesn't understand English. How will I tell her that she's cute?
Well, in a case like that, I'd recommend an expression that is understood everywhere.
What is it? Oh. But Adolf, look, suppose she wants to tell me that she thinks I'm cute. How will I understand what she's saying?
She won't have to say a word, Eddie. She'll just smile.
And oh, what a smile. Gorgeous.
Huh?
Lovely.
Now wait, Bonzel. How do you know her smile will be gorgeous? Lovely.
Well, you were talking about a beautiful girl, weren't you? And it's just common sense to me that a girl can't be beautiful unless she has a lovely smile. And since a lovely smile means so much to a person's attractiveness, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to take intelligent care of your smile. See your dentist regularly, and between visits, faithfully use iPana toothpaste and gum massage. Because healthy gums are mighty important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles. And iPana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to help gums to a healthier firmness. It's easy, then, to understand why so many men and women follow this simple, healthful routine.
Brush your teeth regularly with iPana toothpaste. And every time you do, Put a little extra eye panna on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
So for firmer gums, brighter teeth, and naturally a more attractive smile, decide now to massage with eye panna toothpaste.
Well, all right, Harry. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Stand there, wait.
What's the matter?
Announce my song.
Oh, yes, the song. Just silly. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Cantor sings... Why is it that I always have to say Eddie Cantor sings? Well,
what do you want?
Or Dinah Shore sings? Why don't I ever get to sing myself?
Well, you don't sing, Harry.
Yeah, why don't I?
Well, I don't know.
Why every week do I...
Don't encourage him. Never mind, Eddie, never mind. I'll announce it myself. Ladies and gentlemen, Cookie Fairchild's orchestra and yours truly sings that happy song, I Want to Go Back to West Virginia.
I don't think it's fair.
I want to go back to West Virginia.
He sings.
I want to go back to the one I love.
I never sing.
Where the skies are blue and the birds sing too.
Yeah, the birds sing.
Take me back to West Virginia. They took me away
from
West
Virginia.
They took me away from my home sweet home.
Home sweet home.
Where the friends I knew were so kind and blue.
Let me sing just
take
once.
Me back to West Virginia. Where the fields are filled with clover.
All I do is announce.
And the mountains reach the sky. Where the flowers bloom all over.
At home I sing in the shower, you know. Neighbors like my singing, a fella next door.
To West Virginia. I want to go back to the one I love.
Fella next door likes my voice.
Where the world is free.
Look at it.
That's the place for me.
Looks like an owl and sings like a bullfrog. Right?
Take me back to West Virginia. Go ahead and sing. What do you know?
I want to go back to West Virginia. I want to go back to the one I love. Where the skies are blue and the birds...
No applause, please. Only for professionals.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Took me away from West Virginia. Took me away from my home, sweet home. Where the friends I
Harry,
knew are so...
Let's do this together like an old-time board of the team.
Okay, Eddie.
Harry?
Yeah?
You know why I want to go back to West Virginia?
No. Why?
Because I get my clothes in different parts of the country. For instance, I got my coat in South Dakota.
And your pants?
In Pennsylvania.
And your collar?
In Colorado.
Denver did you go?
Denver did you go? Well, there's only one place I can go to complete my wardrobe. I need a vest, and that's why...
That's why we say... Take me back to West Virginia.
Don't encourage him, ladies and gentlemen, please. You don't know the trouble I'm having with him now. Every 3 or 4 weeks, it's another half a dollar in a minute. Well, I do want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you, Adolph Manjou. Wasn't he nice? Wasn't he charming? We hope you'll all drop in on us next week, ladies and gentlemen, to help roll out the red carpet for Maureen O'Hara. Those of you who have seen her, A Black Swan with Tyrone Power, and How Green Is My Valley, will remember a great, great talent. In the meantime, this I almost forgot. Very important. Makes me able to work here. Don't forget the two products that make these Wednesdays together possible. Eyepanna for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Eyepanna, Sal Hepatica. And so remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you, past friends of friends.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another Eddie Cantor show to keep you laughing. Dinah Shore sings Taking a Chance on Love in between all the funny bits. Eddie Cantor was at the height of his fame in vaudeville when he started in radio in the early 1930s, and he was still going strong over a decade later in the 1940s when this show was broadcast. Enjoy the Eddie Cantor Show, Time to Smile,
first broadcast March 31st, 1943, on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, the makers of iPana for the Smile of Beauty and Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health, present It's Time to Smile with Eddie Cantor, who last Friday sent the following cable to Adolf Hitler, Berchtesgaden, Germany. Quote, on Wednesday, March 31st, we will devote our entire broadcast to you, Mr. Hitler. The time will be 9 p.m. Eastern wartime, but 4 a.m. your time. Inasmuch as you're not sleeping much these nights anyway, I hope you'll be listening. Unquote, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you very much. Why, you no good low-down snake in the grass, you rat. You dirty soul.
Hey, wait a minute, Eddie. That's no way to talk to me.
Who's talking to you? I'm talking to Adolf. What is it, Harry?
Excuse me, just a minute. I've got a little song for Mr. Hitler. Yeah. Heil, heil, right in the Fuhrer's face.
Harry, why don't you give him that sound? Why don't you give him that sound?
Oh, well, with raspberries at 8 points, I should waste them on the Fuhrer's face.
Well, Harry von Zell, we may be kidding the Reichsfuhrer, but the German people really adore him.
Oh, no. They really do, Eddie?
Yep, they worship the ground they'd like to see him under. Believe me. You know, I can't understand how they go for that ersatz food over there. That I'll never be able to comprehend.
No, I can. You know, a good deal of it is made of wood.
Yeah, Harry, and I've been experimenting along those lines. Last week, I crossed some wooden splinters with a pile of sawdust, planted in the ground, and guess what I got?
What?
Termites.
Oh, say.
What?
Termites, that's an American word, Eddie. You better explain to Adolf what it means.
Okay. Yeah. Termites were named after a very famous motion picture, Hitler's Children. Are you listening, Adolf, at Berger's Garden? I wonder if
he
is.
Oh, well, I know. Let's lay off of him, Eddie, for a while and speak of another garden.
Yeah.
Your Victory Garden. How's it getting on?
Oh, I'm glad you... My Victory Garden.
Yeah.
Harry, it's wonderful. Last month, I got 500 radishes, 400 cabbages, 200 tomatoes.
Oh, what theater were you playing at?
The Orpheum. Shut up! I understand, Harry, that you're quite a garden enthusiast.
I know a little about it.
Well, let me ask you. Suppose your soil was unproductive. How would you encourage a tomato?
Well, I wink at her and give her a nice smile.
These guys in uniform are way ahead of you.
No, but seriously, Eddie, I'd like to start a Victory Garden. Now, what is the first thing to do?
Well, you can start, Harry, by sending 10 cents to Congress, and they'll send you the seeds. I send a dollar, and they send me the congressman.
Well, Eddie, is it true that your family has chickens in the coop and a horse in the garage?
Oh, did I tell you?
Yeah.
We've also got a cow. We have a cow now.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, where do they keep the cow?
I don't know, but last night I walked into the bathroom, pulled the wrong faucet, and got a milk bath.
You know something, Eddie? I was just wondering here. Do you think Hitler may be laughing at this broadcast coming from America?
Well, I'm not certain, but I do know that I laughed at a broadcast coming from Germany last night. It sounded like this. Listen. Take it away, Berlin. I know, my dear German people, this past winter, you were cold and didn't eat. But things will be different when it comes summer. You'll be warm and not eat. I've also heard complaints that Hermann Göring is living off the fat of the land. That is not true. Because where could you find land so fat? To the sports-loving people of Germany, the duck season is open again. Here comes the RAF. Everybody, duck! Attention, my liberty-loving people. Tomorrow, in the Berlin Auditorium, the Fuhrer will make a speech telling you what a free country Germany is. Anybody but don't show up will be shot. And do not be alarmed, please, I beg of you, do not be alarmed that the report that an RAF plane is approaching. In Berlin, you see, it's spring. Tra-la-la-la-la. And the thing you see flying is a robin redbreast. the first robin of spring. Such big eggs she is laying. And now we bring you the new order of the Nazi hit parade. Number one, Heil Hitler. Number two, Heil Goering. Number three, Heil Goebbels. Number four, I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey. Well, Herr Hitler, that's how your broadcast sound to us. Here in America, it's a little bit different. For instance, we don't want to know what a person's political beliefs are or who his ancestors were or things like that. We give our applause where it is really deserved. Just listen when I say, ladies and gentlemen, Dinah Shaw. And Dinah sings Taking a Chance on Love.
Here I go again. I hear those trumpets blow again. All aglow again. Taking a chance on love. Here I slide again. About to take that ride again. All starry-eyed again. Taking a chance on love. Thought the cards were a frame-up. I never would try. But now I'm taking the game up. And the ace of hearts is high. I see a rainbow blending now. We'll have our happy ending now. Taking a chance on love. I thought the cards were a frame up. I never would try. But now I'm taking the game up. And the ace of hearts. Things are mending now. I see a rainbow blending now. We'll have a happy ending now. Taking a chance on love.
Hey, more.
Listening, Adolph? Dinah, that was really swell. You're in great voice, honestly.
Thank you, Mr. Cantor. I guess it's because I've been getting lots of fresh air working in my victory garden.
Oh, I mean, how's your garden coming along, Dinah?
Well, I think I'm going to have a small crop of string beans.
Yeah?
This morning I ran out of string.
Oh, Dinah.
Well, I've been farming for a month, and last night the cook brought in the entire crop, and we had a victory garden dinner.
Oh,
gosh, was that radish delicious.
Some farmer.
Mr. Cantor, I passed your garden this morning, and the scarecrow was missing. Someone steal it?
No, no. The scarecrow looks so much better than me, the government drafted him.
Hey, Eddie, you know, the news of your victory garden is certainly getting around. I just got a special delivery letter from my Uncle Fred, you know, the farmer.
Oh,
uncle?
Yes, yeah.
He's got a helpful hint for you.
Oh, great. What does he say, Harry?
Well, he says, plant delicious tomatoes and beans and potatoes and onions and carrots galore. Then real soon, wait and see what a swell meal they'll be for the chickens that live next door. No, really, he's a great guy, Uncle Fred, but the point he makes is really helpful.
Yes, it is. I guess being helpful is one of your family's traits, Harry.
Family traits?
Yes, you see, you're a helpful fellow yourself. Look how many of our listeners you help when you suggest how they can feel better faster. And suppose you do just that right now, huh?
Oh, all right, Eddie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and out of sorts due to the need of a laxative, remember that Sal Hepatica brings quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that's important, for it means you don't have to wait till night to take the laxative you need in the morning. You don't have to go on feeling miserable all day.
Sparkling Sal Hepatica has another advantage, too.
This famous mineral salt laxative helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So tonight or tomorrow, get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Ladies and gentlemen, recently one of Hollywood's truly great actors returned from a tour of England where he visited war plants, RAF bomber stations, American soldiers prior to their invasion of North Africa, and performed in general as unofficial United States Ambassador to Great Britain. Here he is, Edward G. Robinson. Look, Edward, I hope you realize that the reason for this special broadcast is to utilize the radio in such a manner as to reveal to the Nazis our attitude towards them. Understand?
Sure. We're going to give the jerks the works.
Precisely. You know, Edward G., I was amazed at British customs during my last visit there. Really, in England at 4 p.m., everything stops for tea. Then the RAF takes off, and an hour later in Berlin...
Yes?
Everything stops for TNT.
Well, Eddie, I enjoyed my work in London.
Yes, yes, I heard that at BBC you set a record by broadcasting 9 different languages in one day. You know, I too intend to broadcast soon in a different language.
Oh, you're learning English?
Quiet. Edwin, I'm really delighted with the progress of the war, except that I don't like the news from Tunisia. The latest Nazi communique says, fighting Americans, advancing Tanzas pouring in, led by Rommel.
Well, you've got it wrong, chum. What that communique really says is fighting Americans advancing, pouring lead into Rommel's panzers. Personally, I'd like nothing better than to get a shot at that, Adolf.
Well, what good would it do? The Fuhrer always wears a bulletproof vest.
Well, Eddie, you have a cockeyed sense of my direction.
Yeah, I'm very interested in your tour of England, Robinson. Tell me about the London banquet you attended with Anthony Eden and the other British notables.
Well, that was a serious affair, but after the dinner, I attended a dance. And while there, I approached the Duchess, and I bowed politely, and I said, Your Grace, I'd be deeply honored if you would favor me with your presence in the first dance.
And what did she say?
Let's skip, Drip.
Skip, you mean the aristocrats over there like the jitterbug?
Oh, yes, and it was very embarrassing. I'm sorry I wore my tails.
Why? What was wrong with your tails?
Well, every time she threw me in the air, I looked like a P-38 with a cigar. I mean it, Eddie. You know, never again will I wear those fancy long tails.
Oh, they aren't fancy. Tails are nothing but zoot suits with Ritz splits. Eddie, I think our listening audience would like to know in what spirits you found the English people.
Well, first let me tell you that all you see is uniforms there. Every man, woman, and child. They're making every conceivable sacrifice to hasten the United Nations victory. They have much less food than we have, but nobody's grumbling, and their health has never been better.
Well, we're glad to hear that, Eddie. Of course, rationing is new for us, and it's a little tough in America because we're not used to it. What the poor women must go through shopping these days. Edward, look, yeah. Let's pretend that we are our wives going to market in the morning. I'm my wife, you be your wife, Bonzel will be his wife, and we'll see what happens.
Edna, darling.
Harriet, darling. I hardly recognize you. You look so thin.
It's the rationing, you know.
Do I know, but I'm lucky. Just by accident, I found a solution to the rationing problem. I simply take a half a pound of butter, a pound of oleomargarine, and a bottle of olive oil, and mix them all together.
Oh, really? Well, how does it taste?
Silly, you don't eat it. It makes the loveliest wave set you ever saw. Don't look now, Harriet, but here comes that sucker, Edwina Robinson. Oh. How she can stand her husband smoking those stinky cigars around the house, I'll never know.
Quiet, here she is.
Yes.
Oh, Hello, girl.
Oh. Hello, honey. How are you?
Edwina, my darling, what a lovely hat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Harriet.
Yes, lovely hat. Looks even better than it looked last year.
Yes.
Well, tell me, where have you been all day, Edwina?
Oh, I've just been shopping. Yes. You know, a woman's work is never done. No. and me thinking of another baby. I must be crazy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, were you at the market today?
Oh, yes, yes. And oh, how those people were pushing and shoving.
Isn't it awful?
I must say that the women there weren't very ladylike at all. No. In fact, I was forced to slug a couple.
Good. They deserve it. You know, I had trouble with my butcher, too. Last week, he promised me a leg of lamb. Yeah. And when I went in there, he told me he had to give it to that little dumpy Snooky Fairchild. How do you like that? No wonder she gets me. She goes marketing in shorts. How do you like that? What are you doing tomorrow, Edwina?
Well, I think I'll go shopping in my sunsuit.
Oh! You, Ed Robinson, in the sunsuit with the open midriff? You'll be displaying more meat than the market.
Oh, girls, look. Here comes Cookie Fairchild's
son. Do you ever see such a figure on a woman? I always heard a woman's figure should go in a little and out a little. Hers goes out all the way down. It drags on the floor. Look at it.
Hello, you old hags.
Snooky! How did you make out with your shopping?
Oh, just ducky. I got a pair of shoes with my number 12 stamp.
Well, my dear Cookie, the number 12 stamp isn't for shoes, it's for sugar.
Sugar? No wonder my stockings are so lumpy.
Why don't you girls stop complaining? Look at me. Me with my 5 children. I have to give them all the food. I'm going to die. I'm on a liquid diet, you know. So hard to stretch points. All I've had for the past 5 days is orange juice, and more orange juice, and more orange juice.
Oh, you poor dear, you.
Really, I swallow so much liquid that my stomach thinks I'm taking in washing. Honestly. What's that?
I'll get it. Hello. What's that? Well, I'd love to meet you on Hollywood Boulevard. 10 minutes? You cute thing, you. Oh, just a man. His name I don't know.
Well, if you don't know his name, why are you meeting him?
Well, he says he's a butcher.
A butcher! You know, we're fooling. Edward G.
Yes, Eddie.
The last time I was in England, I met a famous espionage agent who was grilled by the Nazi Gestapo for 3 days and 3 nights. Finally, he couldn't stand the strain any longer, so he gave them some vital information.
What did he say?
What did he say?
How do you do?
Russian. Russian? Russian?
Yes?
The man standing before you is one of the toughest guys in history. He is the famous Little Caesar.
Julius, how's Cleopatra?
No. Not that, Caesar. Now, Russian, what's this about you being a spy?
True. You know something?
Yes.
Every day I'm disguising myself. I always wear a different mask.
Well, why do you have to wear a mask?
You had a puss like mine, wouldn't you hide it?
Well,
Don't answer. You got a puss like mine.
Careful, Russian.
Now, listen, you smullion screwball. One more word out of you, and I'll zip your lip.
You'll zip my lip? Ha ha! That's very funny. Very funny. That's very funny. Very funny.
Quit stalling, Russian. If you're a spy, we want you to prove it.
That's all gonna do. My first job was espionage agent for the U.S. Treasury.
You did espionage for the Treasury?
Yes, I was a mint spy.
What was that? If you want to kill a laugh, walk out on it, boy. That's good. Forgive us, folks. He bought that joke on the black market.
Russian, have you done any espionage work for the Russian Akpu?
The what? The what?
The Akpu. Poo.
Don't name it, please. I became part of the Russian underground quite by accident.
The underground? How'd you do it?
I fell in a sewer.
Russian, tell me, do you find your spy work very dangerous?
Ah, yes, of course, yes, oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
I will never forget the time I was training that famous German spy, Mattress Hatter, Hatteras. Yes.
What happened?
What happened? I was after the secret plans.
It was after the secret plans?
Yes. And when I walked into our house, the room was filled with delicate perfume. Yes. There were 6 bottles of champagne on the table.
Oh?
I finished all of them.
Yeah, but what about her secret plans?
By that time, I had plans of my own.
We are interested in your story. May you continue?
I shall go on. She came into the room and gave me a glass of vodka with poison in it. I drank it. She gave me another glass of vodka with poison. I drank it.
Why, you Kremlin, if you knew there was poison in it, why did you drink it?
Who can drink vodka straight?
Oh, I've had enough of this. Russian?
Yes?
Russian, what did you ever accomplish as a spy?
Mine dear boy. Look who I'm calling boy. Last week, I took a letter out of my mailbox. It was printed in invisible ink.
Yes?
I took it to my laboratory where I worked for 2 days. Yes. I went without food or sleep until finally the letter stood out in cold black type.
What did it say?
Greetings, you are now in 1A.
We know it, Stanley. Say, Edward G., there's something I've been wanting to ask you.
What is it?
What you said about that fashionable diplomatic party in London has got me thinking. You've been around a lot.
Well, I haven't been around as long as you have, Eddie, but then who has?
That's a very dirty laugh down there. Yeah, but let me... it's not what I'm talking about. Look, suppose I was at a party like that and there were lots of foreign diplomats.
Yeah.
What if I met a ravishing lady but couldn't speak her native tongue?
Well, Eddie, a gentleman can always manage somehow. There are ways of making yourself understood. For instance, music. Well, that's a universal language, you know.
You mean you sing to them?
No, but I whistle plenty.
I see. And how about the lady I'm introduced to? How do I know if she's interested in me?
Well, they have their own secret ways of letting you know. For instance, an engaging smile is...
Now, wait a minute, Ed. Wait a minute. There's nothing secret about an engaging smile, is there, Harry?
No, indeed, Eddie. It's no secret that it must be attractive. And to be attractive, it must be taken care of. See your dentist regularly, ladies and gentlemen. And between visits, faithfully use Ipana toothpaste and gum massage. Because healthy gums are mighty important to sound teeth and sparkling smiles. And Ipana is not only unsurpassed for cleaning and brightening teeth, but when used with massage, it is especially designed to give gums the stimulation they need to help keep them firm and healthy. The exercise they may not get from the soft, well-cooked foods we eat. So it's easy to understand why so many men and women are adopting this famous healthful routine.
Brush your teeth regularly with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums.
So, ladies and gentlemen, make up your mind now to help yourself to firmer gums, brighter teeth, and a more attractive smile by massaging regularly with Ipana toothpaste.
Hey, good looking. Say, what's cooking? Do you feel like booking some fun tonight? Hey, good looking. If you're not already chicken, could you meet me soon in the moonlight? Why don't we two go roaming through the gloaming while the stars are combing the skies above? Hey, 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 good looking, give in and we'll begin cooking that delish little dish called love.
Why don't we two go roaming the gloaming while the stars are combing the skies above?
Hey, 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 hey,
hey, good looking,
give in and we'll begin cooking
that delicious little dish called
Adolf, it's now approaching 4:30 a.m. in Burgess Garden. You're probably tucked in, so Mr. Roblinson and I are going to tell a bedtime story. Your bedtime story. However, it consists of many sounds which may keep you awake. For instance...
You hear that clock, Adolf? Annoying, isn't it? For a clock records time. And time... relentless as the tides. waits for no man, not even Adolf Hitler. Your planes and tanks may be smashed. Your powerful armies may be stopped. You may beg for time, but the hands of the clock move on.
You hear that hammer, Adolf? Keeps you awake, doesn't it? Especially when you consider that there are millions of hammers like it, and screwdrivers and blowtorches in the hands of America's war plant workers. Strong, skillful hands hammering away night and day towards victory. Welding, riveting, putting life in the ship of democracy. Carving death on the tombstone of Nazism. Just listen to what those workers are doing for you, Adolf. Every day, 5 more Allied ships hit the water. Every hour, 10 more American planes roll off the assembly lines. Every minute, thousands of tons of guns and ammunition pour from our factories. Are you still sleepy, Herr Hitler? Well, perhaps you could sleep if it weren't for...
That's a familiar sound, isn't it? It's the sound of Americans on the march. Every 60 seconds, 12 more fighters join America's armed forces to man those guns and those ships and planes we're building. It's a fast-growing army, Adolf. And although some may fall on the road to Berlin, strangely enough, those footsteps will seem to become louder. They will become louder and stronger. For the tramp, tramp, tramp of our boys will never cease until it has stamped out once and forever all the barbaric cruelty, hatred, and inhuman suffering you've born into this world. Nothing can stop us now, Adolf. Because...
That's the heart of America. 130 million hearts pounding as one for the one goal, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. It's a healthy beat, this heart of America. It thumps with the same relentless rhythm of the clock.
The tireless hands of our workers.
The marching feet of our fighters.
That's unity, Adolf. That's harmony. That's America.
We of the United Nations know that you're no pushover, Adolf. We may not win this year or the next, but win we will. Yes, Adolf, long after Heil Hitler is dead, we'll be singing God Bless America.
God bless America.
Thanks, everybody, and thank you, Edward G. Robinson. Good luck in your new Columbia picture, Destroyer. Ladies and gentlemen, drop in on us again next week, won't you? Jack Benny's boy, Dennis Day, is going to be here, and we've got some confidential matters we want to take up with him. I wish you wouldn't listen, Jack, because they may concern you. See you next week, folks. In the meantime, don't forget the two products that make these programs possible. iPanel for the Smile of Beauty, Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health. I, Panna. Sal Hepatica. And so remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you, as friend to friend. I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too. Let's make a date for next Wednesday night.
And John,
I'm here to stay. Will be my
ladies, before you wash the dishes.
It's time for Touché.
Before you wash your underthings.
It's time for Touché.
Because Touché is the beforehand lotion.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.